Greetings, and welcome to Happy and Whole in Him. My friend, do you understand how much you need the gospel? Let me introduce myself. I'm Pastor Joel, and I'm a selfaholic. Yes, I believe the gospel that says God saves the helpless, that there's nothing I did to earn salvation, that I have right standing before God by faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone, and for the glory of God alone. But I find every week I still have remaining stashes of self-reliance I sip from. I become easily intoxicated with me, with my gifts, my ability, my position. I see the mistakes of others, and I say to myself, well, I could never do that. I look back at all the things I didn't pray about, which shows me I think I have the resources to do life on my own. What about you? Do you ever smuggle your good works into why God favors you? Do you think your righteousness in comparison to others contributes to your standing before God? This is what some folks in the Galatian church began thinking. Let me read from Galatians 3, and please note, Paul is not happy. Paul is shouting at them with his pen. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith, just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness? My friends, Galatians 3 is Paul's intervention. The Galatians have become drunk on self, and they're about to wreck their lives. Paul says, don't you remember I preached God's Son crucified for you? Didn't that show your inability to do or add anything to your salvation, your righteous standing before God? These Galatians had begun well. God had opened their eyes to their poverty, their absolute need for Christ to save them. But sadly, many began to see their progress in obedience, and they began to sip on their own righteousness. They were trying to complete with their efforts the work begun by God. And Paul's reaction tells us this is crazy, it is dangerous, it's acting like a fool. There was a time when the great boxer Muhammad Ali was on a plane that hit some turbulence, and everyone was told to fasten their seatbelts. Well, the stewardess noticed that Ali hadn't fastened his seatbelt and asked him to fasten it, to which Ali said, Superman don't need no seatbelt. To which this sharp lady said, you're right. Superman don't need no plane either. Put on your seatbelt. These Galatians are acting like Ali. The gospel is what lifted them up and is what is taking them to glory. But they think they can flap their arms fast enough to reach heaven on their own. But nobody is able to start, much less complete the work of salvation. So why are you and I prone to smuggle in our righteousness, to start sipping self? Why am I prone to rely on Joel to get done what only Jesus can get done? Because of my pride and what I am experiencing as I take up my cross and follow Jesus. You see, I endure the struggle to be obedient to love God and others each day. I fight the selfishness. I feel the pain and the exhaustion of living sacrificially. I participate in the progress taking place in my life. My experience informs me that I am doing it. But the gospel removes the blinders and reminds me that any and all growth is still all God. 1 Corinthians 3:7. Any triumphs that come on my journey are still all of God's grace. My salvation begins with God's grace, and grace doesn't stop. Not only did I contribute zero to the new creation I became in Christ, I contribute zero going forward. So what do we do? What Paul says, keep looking at Christ crucified for you. Clay Warner says, well, The nature of the gift reveals the nature of your need. Children, if your parents buy you deodorant for the first time, what does that tell you? If you bought me a book, 10 Ways to Be a Better Preacher, I'd get the hint. The Heavenly Father, sending His beloved Son to the cross to become sin for us, to be hung up on a tree, what Jesus endured as He became sin and the sky went black, that, my friend, reveals first, we're in worse shape than we could ever imagine. Second, that if it took this kind of gift, we're entirely unable to save ourselves. And thirdly, and wonderfully, we are greatly loved. My friend, remember who you are and who you belong to.